all the crew for just all their hard work, and can see that everything was just a little bit of a rush, but so good to be here. You must come back for next weekend because we got Trilogy for the serving one, okay? So that you did not miss any of the Lord of the Rings kind trilogy, okay? Quick shout out to Balan's brother, Tingan, Trevor, and Gavin, okay? They are all here. Would you just stand? They are all MMA fighters. So we heard of some of you wasn't very cooperative with the usher, so we decided to hire, I'm just kidding, okay? They're all MMA fighters. They stay in Miri together with Kedong's church, am I correct? Which is Balan's sister. Talking about MMA, you know, I used to meet one MMA fighter who sees me a couple of times, okay? And every time when this person texts me, says, Pastor, can I see you? It's almost like 9, 10 p.m. and I meet up with the person and then we just talk, and then he just thanked me, asked me to pray for him, and I never know why. So after about 4 or 5 times, I finally asked him, I said, actually, you called me to meet me for what? He says, Pastor, to confess to you, every time before a fight, I needed to have the greatest peace in my mind and in my heart. That's why I called you, because talking to you gives me peace, so that tomorrow I can beat up people in peace. Anyway, from peace to pieces. I'm just kidding, okay? So, but we are so glad to see them. I was having a conversation. Congrats to Gavin, who actually won a tournament, I think yesterday. And he was telling me that he owns a gym, and through that gym, he was able just to reach out to people for Jesus. So I just want you to know, no matter what you do, whether you are a fighter, whether you are education academician, whether you can always reach out to someone, because there's someone always that God has put across your path that you can be a blessing. Now, talking about that, whenever you meet someone, two things. We just finished a Reimagine Church, and I wanted to just point us to two things. I just want to remind everybody. My wish is as many people had a chance to discover God. Whether you walk away from the session, 4 sessions, you sort of knew something about Christianity and God, and you decided that's not for you, that's fine. But my wish is as many people get to have a God conversation. A lot of us have conversation about so many things, about children, investment, cars, economic, politics, whatever. But having a good conversation about God, I think, is so important. So we just want to make that available, and help me to reach out to your friends and introduce them to discovering God. Secondly, I wanted to point everybody, 2 things that you can do. One is a place where you get to reason about God. One is another place where you get to encounter God through prayer. I tell you, there's just so many different people that I've met that eventually landed at a spot where there is a God. Not because how well they reason. It is actually they get to encounter when someone pray for them. And I just want you to know that we have made this available every 1st and 3rd Sunday after the service, so that there's a team of people who are committed to take time to pray and to minister to those. So we want you to be able to reach out to your friend and be a blessing to them. All right, now, I've got another maybe 20 minutes or 25. We'll inch into a little bit about dialogue. But we are doing a new series called Footsteps of Jesus. Everybody say Footsteps of Jesus. Okay, now this series will lead us all the way to Easter weekend, where I'm going to have a very good friend of mine, Pastor Michael Pedaris from Philippines. He's going to come here to minister in that weekend. You will really enjoy him. One of the best mind, honestly, that someone I really like to talk with. And Footsteps of Jesus is another fresh way to look at Jesus. So every year when we hit towards the Easter weekend, we try to focus to look at Jesus. Sometimes we look at Jesus from the different titles that he had, kind of lead us to, again, resurrection, or not resurrection, to Easter, and then the resurrection. But this year, we decided to do Footsteps of Jesus, which is one thing very ambitiously to take the 3 or 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry, which is something that speculated, though it's rather credible, the speculation. But honestly, nobody knows. It was just the way how the Bible is pieced together, looking through the four different gospels at different feasts and Passover and the season, and kind of pieced together the most probable three years of Jesus' life. So we're going to walk through the footsteps of Jesus. We're going to cover the first year we're going to cover this week and next weekend. So the way we are trying to do this series and using the concept of footstep, because footstep is something that every one of us are very familiar. And footstep has the most powerful ending because you just need to follow the person's footstep. So which really reminds me of a story of our first Me and My Daddy camp, which I mentioned before, that we actually went to, we went to, someone help me, somewhere near Kajang where we went to a place, okay? Anyway, and we were supposed to do morning hike, the hiking. So the guide was telling us, the hike is really easy, not a problem. Then it kind of rained, okay? Then it comes to at night. Then we decided not to do it in the morning, then we do it at night. So when come to the night high, the guide was telling us that, you know, it's very exciting. Night high is different. You're going to see different things. It was sort of drizzling a bit of raining. And then the hike, the guide said that, you know, because we are bringing kids 6 to 12 years old, all right, especially, and some of them are 5, you know, me and my daddy came, right, our first one. And then the guide said, no, I'm sure you can make it. I'm sure we can. So we thought, okay, can make it. So everybody geared up for that. I will never forget. We were doing the hike, and some of the places were so steep that if you fall, you're going to fall through, you know. I don't think you can get up again. So we have to go through those things. Some places was just, and then it was raining and very slippery, you know, a bit of landslide. And somewhere halfway through, all the parents realized that, how are we going to make it, man, with all these kids? So we wanted to turn back. The guy said, no, turn back is worse. So we have to brave through the whole thing. So I will never forget, the guide said this, and it just passed on the word around. He said, all you needed to do is to follow the footstep. That's all you needed to do. If this is where you step, and this is where it's stable, everybody follow that footstep. You know, and because we followed the footstep, we went through triumphantly and finished. Nobody died. All the kids survived, you know. The kids came in and said, so cool. You know, all the dad was like, ooh, so dangerous, okay? Anyway, but as we talk about the footstep of Jesus, I want you to be able to walk away every weekend and say, I'll follow that footstep. I'll follow that footstep. Something about following the footstep of Jesus. And the world has left for us so many different footsteps. You talk to anybody in the world, everybody is trying to introduce you steps that you can follow, whether it's investment, business, life, what is important. Every time you watch a YouTube, you know, an advertisement comes, it's trying to tell you, following this footstep will get you somewhere. Could I recommend you, let's follow the footstep of Jesus. And I think that's the way we think. So the way we're going to phrase this particular series, we're going to cover, first of all, facts about Jesus, or facts about the time of Jesus. So every weekend, we're going to give you a couple of different facts. So today, I'm going to do the facts before Jesus came. Okay? Then, we're going to look at a certain part of Jesus. We call it the faith of Jesus, which is something about Jesus' decision, he did an event, whatever, that helped to bring about a quality about the way Jesus related his faith to. And then finally, we are going to end with the footsteps that all of us can follow. Did you get the brief? I hope you understand. So every weekend, we will kind of give you a couple of facts that, oh, I never knew that. Then we're going to zoom into the life of Jesus, and then you're going to walk away every weekend, footsteps that you can follow. Now, because of time, I will do my best to cover as much, but for sure, we're going to inch into dialogue. If not, then material is quite a fair bit. Now, to piece together 3 or 3.5 years of Jesus, it's really going through the four gospels. And one of the big thinking that helped us to understand Jesus did exactly 3 years or more than that was because in the book of John, there were 3 different Passover mentioned. Once you add the triumphant entry, which is the day when Jesus was slain on that cross, was the, then it's the fourth Passover. This is pretty credible. So though there are different people who debate, the debate came because in John chapter 5 verse 1, the Bible says it was a particular feast. It did not say it was a Passover feast. So some of you who are first time to church, you are like, that just passed over me. You don't even get it, okay? Passover is a particular event in the history of Israel where God delivered the nation out of the slavery of Egypt. On that night, all the Israelites slaughtered a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, and the Bible says the angel of death passed over. It was the night before they eventually had their greatest deliverance. Okay, so it was a particular. So ever since then, one of the big celebrations in Israel is to celebrate the Passover. So when Jesus, the Bible recorded, so Jesus being someone who was born in a Jewish culture, practiced Passover. Every time when there's a Passover, people all come together and gather in Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. Okay, now, so here in this place, if you study the book of John carefully, in John chapter 2, verse 13, which is before, after he did the first miracle, he went to the temple, the Bible mentioned that was most probably his first Passover. So before his first Passover, he already sort of being baptized, you know. So there were days and nobody know how many months were there before the Passover. So once you piece all together, it's about three and a half years, the life of Jesus. So I just want to lay this to you so that at least you're a little bit cleverer when you talk to people. How did you know? Well, John talked about three Passover, that means, you know, and four, you know, if you die. And then so that you kind of be able to know that, all right? Now, from a chart point of view, you cannot walk out from this place if you cannot memorize this. No, I'm just kidding, okay? Now, Balan has helped us to kind of piece this together, which means that the years are speculative. So some people would argue all the way to 27 instead of 30 or 28, you know, over this part. The years are speculative. Nobody know AD, whatever. Anyway, that was his years old, not the year, sorry. But basically, it's quite all the different miracles that he did. Okay? So year one, year two, year three, it's all stipulated there. And you can actually, I don't know how to make sure this is downloadable, but we'll sort it out because it's a long series. And then so that some of you would want to have this in mind. And as you read the Bible, it will really help you to kind of understand the three or the 3.5 years of Jesus. Okay, now, today I'm going to jump into the first one. The focus is Jesus obedient to the call. And we want you to walk away thinking about what is it like if I were to live my life living out the call that God has for me, just as the way Jesus did. Though he only lived for 33 years, 33 and a half, but he fulfilled every bit that God designed the way he lived his life to be. And what if every one of us live obedience to the call that God has for us, all right? So I'm going to kind of doing my best to go through the three different segments. First of all, it's facts. The best verse to introduce the concept of facts is actually Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Would you read together? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman and born under the law. The Bible describes when Jesus came, he says it was the fullness of time, which means that time, what at its ripest, just at the right time. In Hokkien, see, tutu ho. I'm just kidding, okay? Okay, or not tutu ho, that's almost like, okay, anyway. But the fullness of time, when time was just at its ripest. So when you try to piece together, there are potentially five different lenses you can look at it. First of all, it's politically. So if you understand the history of Israel, for about 400 years or 400-500 years, they were consistently ruled by different empire power. Ever since the Babylonian captivity, they have never been able to honestly live, you know, on their own. So there were many, many moments. There were just the big giants. It was Persia, it was Greece, it was Rome, and eventually, when Greece went apart into four, then you got Ptolemy, which is a bit more Egypt, you know. Everyone sort of ruled and this part of Israel, and for many, many years, they were kind of really looking for a Messiah that will come and deliver them. Though their package of Messiah was very physical, someone that will deliver them from the oppression of the empire. There were only a little bit of moment, the Maccabees, where the 100 over years before Christ came, that they had a little bit of privilege because they pushed away the Greek that was ruling over them. And you know, and you can read about all that when you just study history. Okay, but my point was there was just a longing for a Messiah. Linguistically, it was very interesting because by then, because of Greek culture and the thinking of the Greek ruler, which means that they like to preserve the culture. So what happened was everybody spoke in Greek by then. So from a linguistic point of view, it was one of the best time to preach the gospel because when Jesus and Paul came, by then everybody would have been familiar with the Greek language. Infrastructurally, the Bible tells us that, not Bible, history tells us that all roads lead to Rome. It was interesting to note that the entire empire Rome was built, at least history tells us, 400 kilometers of well-paved road being built. Versus where we are in Malaysia today, I think we are 280,000. So can you imagine, it was a very well infrastructured where people can travel safe. All that was done. Spiritually, there were 400 years of silence, which create a longing in the nation of Israel to really encounter God. It was believed that during the rules of Greek mythology was introduced to the nation of Israel, but it never take root. So it just reach a crescendo when Christ come. Everybody was really hunger and wanting to know who could the Messiah be. And prophetically, there are 300 over prophecies about Jesus. It was fascinating to really just study about the prophetic part about Jesus because every one of them, all the way from Genesis and you know, Amos and Hosea and so many different prophecies that points towards Jesus' birth and, you know, all of that. So when you kind of piece together, it just come to the right time where Jesus needed to come. All right, there's a little bit of a fullness of time, couple of facts for you just to know that. I'm going to zoom into the faith of Jesus. Okay, now to help you to do that, I'm going to quickly brush through for you the early days of Jesus before the temptation at the wilderness. Okay, because Eugene will kind of pick that up next weekend. Okay, now, Jesus' birth and Jesus' childhood. The best way is to be able to look at this diagram. Okay, so you know that Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, they were Nazareth people, right? So because of a census, they went all the way to Bethlehem. And in that, they found that Jesus cannot wait, needs to come out. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You knew that. The Bible tells us that they took Jesus to Jerusalem, the temple there, because they wanted to dedicate Jesus. And that's where they meet Simeon. They meet the two, you know, priests and priestesses who prayed for Jesus. And then they came back to Bethlehem. And because of King Herod, who was just ferociously wanting to kill baby Jesus, and they killed hundreds of babies because they just go around killing babies, and they then went to Egypt because that was the safest place. Eventually, when Herod the king died, they decided to go back, and wanting to stop at Bethlehem or Jerusalem, I believe, they found out that the son, they were all still quite brutal, and they decided to go all the way to Nazareth. And this is the place where Jesus was born. Eventually, Capernaum was the place that he hung out with as he grew up to be an adult. Okay, so from a map point of view, all of us are familiar. These are the route of baby Jesus. At the 12 years old, he actually came to Jerusalem in the temple. And that's where the famous story, at the age of 12 years old, Jesus had a sense of calling because the parents came, brought him to the temple, and they left without him. How many of you have come to church and left your children? All right, that boy might be. Okay, it depends, okay? So when the parents finally caught up with Jesus and Jesus said this, he says, don't you know that I am about my Father's business? So at the age of 12 years old, Jesus really had a sense of wanting to do something for God. He clearly has a sense. Now, there were tons of speculation outside of biblical account that talk about Jesus able to do miracles when he was young. He go to school, you know, he was upset, you know, he turned this bread into that, and you have all of that, okay? None of all that can be true. We do not know, but the Bible clearly talk about Jesus had his first miracle at the age of 30, which is at the wedding of Cana. So most probably, Jesus lived throughout his entire younghood life just like you and I. I'm sure he was stressed when he needs to learn Chinese. I don't think he put on his, you know, I think he just went through life because the Bible talked about he was just obedient and the kenosis theory, he did not put on the God thing, you know, and he lived just like as every one of us, okay? So the Bible tells us only one particular incident when he was 12 years old, and that was the only glimpse. There were so many speculations. Some people think that before he was 30 years old, he went to India and all of that. I do not know. I don't think so. But when we go up to heaven, we are able. But according to biblical account, only one particular incident. All right? Now, then very quickly, we move to Jesus' forerunner, which is John the Baptist. John the Baptist most probably ministered somewhere around here. Because he ministered at Judea, the wilderness in Judea, the desert. So, this is most probably, some people believe that this is Jordan River where all the baptism. Some people believe Jesus was somewhere baptized over there. None of us know, but those are all speculative. So very quickly, you got forerunner, you got Jesus' baptism, you got Jesus' temptation, and then right after his temptation, he came out full of the power, and that begins the public ministry of Jesus, all right? So these are all some of the basic understanding. Every one of them, there's a lot to talk about. Forerunner, John the Baptist, he was beheaded. There's so many different stories in the Bible. Jesus' baptism, Heavenly Father was so pleased that he opened up the heavens. So I said, this is my boy, listen to him, you know, all of that. And then Jesus' temptation, which is something that Eugene will pick it up next week. All right, now, I want to focus on Jesus responding to his call. And I hope that's something that we'll walk away today as we just kind of look through in the biggest brushstroke about Jesus. Now, he understood his calling when he was very young. Number two, he continued to pursue his calling. Jesus, throughout the Bible, consistently said this, right? For example, John 4:34, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus was very clear. He says, that's what I'm called to do. John 5:30, he says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own, but the will of him who sent me. John 6:38, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him. I mean, the Bible has so many different times where Jesus will say that, I'm not here to do what I want. I'm here to do what my Father wants. I'm not here to do what I wish. I'm here to do what my Father wish. Now, what if that's the mindset of every one of us? You know, I believe it was Kevin Connor who wrote a book called The Kingdom, the Self-Kingdom. The greatest competitor to the kingdom of God sometimes is our own. Our own, the things that we like to do without God. There's nothing wrong to have your own wishes, your desire. God made us to be people, but as you grow in God, one of the mark, I think, clearly that you are someone that not just live for yourself, but live for the one who created you, was you start to think, what does God think about this? How does God feel about this? And I think it is that little demarcation away that you know you are someone that so desires to obey God. So Jesus lived out a life where obedience to God is such a huge thing. Just one statement. He continued to live out his calling even when it costed him. Remember when the Bible talked about the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Lord, it is not my will, but your will be done. And then he went to the cross and did everything that God asked him to do. It was in Philippians 2:8. The Bible says that being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming, would you say together, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, I want to leave something as we kind of begin this first week, which is that little desire in you to really want to live your life in obedience to God. Every one of us in our journey of knowing God and living life with God, at some moment, some of us every day, some of us, there's defining moment that you have to make a decision. God, today, I'm going to obey you in this. I know that in obeying you, I'm going to lose out so much. Maybe in the corporate world, maybe so many different things. But because I chose to obey you, I'm going to take who I am and I put it into your hand and trust you to navigate that. So when I kind of reflected on this little thing on obedience, I can recall, and some of you kind of know this story, but this is a little bit of a different shade. So when God came into my life and I walked away from God, so somewhere when I went to uni days is when I rededicated my life to God. I will never forget when once I rededicated my life to God, I felt there's a call of God upon my life and I wanted to serve God. So something about when God calls you, it was never idle. It was never like, okay, so I met a lot of people who would tell me things like that. You know, I'm still waiting for what God wants me to do. Actually, you don't wait. You always start with being faithful with whatever God has given to you. So somewhere as I was being faithful, it was very clear that I decided I needed to go to Bible college. And I either have a choice to go to Bible college after I graduated and work Bible college, or after I graduated, I go to Bible college and then I work. I either has that two options. So I was very clear, and so I started to do my little homework. So I met up with different pastors. I talked to so many different leaders, and sometimes I realized that the more you talk, the more opinion you have, and you don't even know how to navigate. So I talked to some pastors. Some pastors say, you know what, you want to go Bible college, you know, you go Singapore. Singapore has the best, okay? And I said, okay, thank you so much. Some people say, why go Singapore? Malaysia lah. Singapore want to claim everything, you know. Malaysia Bible college is good enough. Okay. And then I wanted to go to the US because there was just reason. I thought that was a good exposure. And then a lot of pastors tell me, don't go to US. It will only corrupt you morally, corrupt you theologically. And then, so the more I talk, the more I don't know how to choose. The more I confuse I am. And I will never, never, ever forget. There's one little moment of my life. Isaiah 1:19, the verse. It says, if you're willing and obedient, I'll give you the best of the land. I'll never forget. And by that time, I kind of narrowed down on a certain Bible college and I heard so many different advice. But on that day, if you're willing and obedient, you know, ever since then, when I kind of look back at my life, the rest were history. I was so grateful that I obeyed God. Step out by faith, go to US. I had only just one little check, enough for my first semester school fees to show the immigration. The rest were just doors after doors after doors after doors of just God's provision. And some of you knew the story, no money, buy books, found money in the book. That's why I believe in buying books. But the money never came back already. That's it. That was my only one time, okay? Not enough food, and people knock on your door, and there's food. And, you know, when you just kind of look back, that little one obedient decision sets the pace and the path that you take potentially for the rest of your life. And I think about those moments. I don't know how many of you had those defining moments you needed to do. Some of you might be in a marriage and then you had a third party. And you need to come before God and say, God, I want to obey you. Choose what was right. And that may save you for the rest of your life, your family, your some of you are in business due that you really struggle with and you know, all this, and we can talk through in dialogue, this bribery and how best to navigate all of that. And it is not an easy space, I can tell you that, okay? And you needed to make that little obedient decision. Some of you, it can be as simple as every week you wake up Sunday, you don't feel like coming, and then you say, God, that's the day of the Lord. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to come. And who knows, that day you came was a defining moment for your life. You never knew that. So that little obedience, all of us have to do, have a great trajectory, actually, to the rest of your life. You know, Jesus just kept on obedient. Just obey. And I want to encourage all of you, which is our next little phrase, God's calling demands our obedience. So God will call us to a certain task, a certain thing that He puts in. But it is our obedience. So I know this whole space about we are wondering about what comes under God's space, what comes under man's space. You know, people have this argument about the Calvinism and Arminian and all of that space about God's sovereignty and human choice. Sometimes it's just the lens that you look at. From God's lens, it's just God's sovereignty. From man's lens, is I need to choose. I need to make that little decision. That God, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to obey you. So, just a couple of thoughts for footsteps to follow, okay? Ephesians was very clear. God called every one of us. Now, some of you would have questions on calling, whatever, we can unpack through to dialogue. But God has a calling. Now, if you study the Bible carefully and you put it into our culture lens, most of us think career, not calling. Let me say that again. Most of us think career, not calling. But when you think calling, it looks way bigger than career. Nehemiah had a career, and his career was to serve the king. But his calling was to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And because of his career favor, he was able to do a greater picture than just serve the king. Peter was a fisherman. That's his career. He found his spot. But his calling is to be fishers of men, not just fishermen. So when you look through the Bible, every one of them, to the slave girl that served Naaman, her career was to be a slave. But her calling was to connect the dot for Naaman to eventually find who Jehovah God is. So it is very important, I think, you will come before God and say, God, I know this is my spot, but what is my calling? So some of you, your career might be a businessman, but your calling is to reach as many fellow businessmen for God, to rise up, to raise up a standard in the industry that no one has think about. So every one of us have different call, and it is very important that you must know that first of all, God has calling. Number two, let me just go by the three practical steps. On calling, our calling is personal, which means that every one of us are a little bit different. Number two, we receive our calling when one is busy and not idling, which means that just be faithful. Some people say, Pastor, I'm still waiting for God. No, just start where you are. Just if right now that's what you have, you do that. I was reminded of Kevin Connor, who passed away, and he was actually one of the best, brilliant Bible teacher. And because he has a mind to study, so when you understand his life, and I don't know whether it covers in his biography, but he talked about for 1 year, every morning, 5 a.m., he just wake up and he just studied the Bible and do the notes. That's all he did. For almost 1 year, every morning, 5 a.m., he wake up, study, do the notes. The day came when the platform was presented for Kevin Connor, and the rest were history. One of the best Bible teacher ever. It started, nobody know about that 1 year when he was just being faithful, Never stay idle, always being faithful. And last but not least, our calling involves sacrifice. So you look through, for Peter, He has to put the fishing net and says, I'm going to go serve God. For Nehemiah, king, thank you for the favor. I'm going to set aside. I'm going to go and rebuild that little wall. Everyone put aside something. For Matthew, the tax collector, he has to look at his table and chair where he does all the, his calculator maybe. He look at all of them and says, you know what? I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to go and do. David used to say this. He says, God, don't let me do anything for you that doesn't involve a sacrifice. So I want to encourage you. The footstep that we can follow Jesus is calling demands obedience. I pray that every one of us, week in, week out, that you make small little obedience decisions every day. What to watch, what to say no, what to say yes. And in the midst of doing that, you start following the footsteps of Jesus. And eventually, you'll come to a point where you look back and say, God, I'm so grateful that I get to do this. I get to serve you in what you have called me to do. Can I get an amen? Why don't we stand? But it's just, as we bring all this to a close, let's pray. And then we'll give remaining time and then we'll do dialogue. Okay? Would you just lift up your hand? Just like that. Would you just lift up your hand? And especially in your heart, you are saying that, Pastor, I so desire, want to live in the calling that God has for me. Then you do that, okay? God, we just come before you. You see that many hands. You see that different one of us have to wrestle with the clarity. But we know, God, you have called us to live certain way, bless certain people, shine your light wherever we go. I pray today that our inner response is, God, we want to obey. Help us to make small, daily, little obedience that creates steps that lead us to a spot where we look back. We know that we are living our life accordingly to the way you want us to be. So Lord, we just surrender. We give our lives to you. We pray, oh God, Lord, that we are willing to follow the footsteps of Jesus. And in doing so, God, Lord, that we are pleasing unto you. Lord, we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.